Here's Higdon. It sits up nicely for Michael Higdon. And what a start for Motherwell. But here's Malt, and he goes for it for Sam. Magnificent Malt. Stephen Robinson celebrates. Motherwell, 2-1. Could that be the goal that puts him into the Betfred Cup final?
He's got Irwin. The supporting links from Ainsworth on the angle. Lionel Ainsworth fires home.
It's Lasley deep into stoppage time. Up goes Sutton. No foul given. Kerr. And Reid is there to knock it in. The goal is given. Hesitation for Craig Reid, who scores his first ever goal in senior football. And what a moment for Motherwell.
Hello, welcome to the NFC podcast. With the new season just days away, I'm joined by Scott McClure, Andy Patterson and Gordon Reid to look forward to the new season. We'll discuss the strange circumstances that await us, European football, our hopes and ambitions for the new seasons, new signings, departures, and whatever else takes our fancy over the next three quarters of an hour or so. Guys, thank you very much for joining me tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Cheers, thanks for having us.
Andy, I'll start with yourself, and as I've already mentioned, a season like no other, a pre-season like no other. We're 3 days away from our game against Ross County. The fans won't be there. I think the excitement levels are there, but I'm not quite sure kind of to what extent. It's just very, very surreal, and we've done podcasts from March right through to just now. I don't think I've really got my head around the start of football again.
No, everything's all totally been thrown in the air somewhat with COVID-19. Obviously, we didn't complete the last campaign, and it's been a curious set of circumstances as we've watched other leagues in Europe complete their season, and where we would normally... There's that sort of element of end of season, kind of closure, take a break, and all of a sudden here we are. And the fact that we haven't had our kind of pre-season friendlies that we normally get a wee glimpse at one or two, we haven't had the League Cup games even, of course we've got Europe this season, the fact that we've had nothing at all and suddenly it's like only 3-4 days to the new season starts, it's very, very kind of strange. As you say, there's the excitement's there. I think it'll be more so... perhaps once we see kind of Scottish football actually played properly again, with the first kick-off in Saturday lunchtime, we'll kind of start getting the usual kind of excitement when you see the season starting, and then there'll be that wee bit of anticipation for us that we'll have to wait an extra couple of days with us being in the Monday evening. But it's definitely a very kind of very strange set of circumstances that we'll kick off this campaign in.
Scott, you've obviously got a vested interest in English football. Before that was the German football. Has that whetted your appetite for the forthcoming season, or has that done something to diminish your enthusiasm as well? Because I've spoken to quite a few people that have said that watching the English football and watching the German football has actually kind of dampened their enthusiasm for football coming back because of the lack of atmosphere. And I don't know, there's quite a lot of subpar games and just a lack of oomph to the football.
I will certainly, it's kind of commonly known, I'm a big Liverpool supporter as well as Motherwell, but I think the main thing for me with regards to, it's a foregone conclusion that Liverpool were going to win the league, so the intensity wasn't there with Liverpool. It was a matter of when and not if. But what I will say is, I quite enjoyed the relegation battle. I don't know if any's watched the Aston Villa Arsenal game, and it was edgy receipt stuff, and it was because there was something at stake. I didn't particularly enjoy any Liverpool games throughout the end of the running, but I did enjoy the kind of relegation battle, and I think that's what I'm looking forward to now. It will be strange, I think, because throughout the whole of the lockdown, Motherwell's never played. We've never seen an empty Fir Park. All right, we had a wee taste of it against Rangers, but
Certainly, I think having something at stake is really, really important.
Personally, when it came to the German games, the Spanish and the Italian as well, but more so the English ones, I don't think it was necessarily the lack of crowd, which kind of, if dampens the right word for it, I think it was the fact that you were seeing practically every single game live, that there was a wee bit of overkill there, that we were maybe only getting maybe three or four games that you would manage to take in over the course of a weekend. You were potentially getting like three or four games in one afternoon, then the same replicated the next day. And then once you chucked in your German, your Italian and stuff like that, then it was like overkill. I mean, the sheer volume of games that's going to be known, then it is only going to be like the ones that, you know, that Scott said, like it takes a bit of a game that's a bit of a classic or something that has really got a bit of edge to it that's going to stand out, and the rest of them just kind of merge into one almost. But personally, I wouldn't say it's dampened my enthusiasm for the return of the kind of Scottish title race again.
And Gordy, I think that's a really good point. I heard Danny Murphy and Match of the Day 2 talking about that, where he was saying that every weekend of the EPL towards the end of it was kind of just as you would expect. There was games that were poor, there was games that were kind of bang average, and then there was really good games as well, which is going to be the case across the leagues. The fact that there's such a passion and enthusiasm for Scottish football, the fact that it kind of feels like Scottish football's almost been an underdog in the terms of the finance that's behind it as well. This is going to be an exciting season. There's obviously a lot going on at the top of the league as well, with Celtic going for 10 in a row, Rangers trying to deny them European football for Motherwell. There's loads of things going on, and I can't help but be excited, but at the same time, just kind of, it feels like a step into the unknown.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting one to see how it pans out. I think, obviously, as well as the lack of crowd and the sort of English and German games that we've spoke about, it's probably as well remembering that the players hadn't been playing for 3-4 months, so there's probably a wee bit of lack of match sharpness, particularly in the early stages. And that'll probably still be the case, I'd imagine, when we kick off on Monday night. Obviously, we just maybe 3 or 4 weeks of pre-season games under our belt. It might be a case that this season's a wee bit of a slow burner, particularly with no crowd there until, you know, hopefully it seems like September, maybe October, November time before we can get fans back in the ground in some shape or form. But you're right, there's plenty to look forward to from a Motherwell perspective. We had a great season last year. Normally this time of year we'd have the excitement of probably the European qualifiers, maybe one or two of them under our belt already. We've still got that to look forward to, albeit it's tinged with a wee bit of disappointment from a fan perspective that the likelihood is we probably won't be there, certainly not for the opening game anyway. But as you say, Scottish football in general, I think there's a lot to be positive about this season, and a lot to look forward to as the season progresses.
And Andy, got to touch on the fact that last season was a very good one for Motherwell. Stephen Robinson hadn't managed to achieve a top six finish. He didn't just manage that, he managed a best of the rest finish as well. A huge achievement, something that would have been celebrated massively within the supporter base had we been in the stadium at the time. It was maybe kind of downplayed by the fact that we were in the midst of a lockdown and the season was ended prematurely. But there's no getting away from how big an achievement that was. And the fact that there's many people talking about Motherwell as a team that will be able to kick on and maybe not replicate it, but come very close to achieving what they did last season is a testimony to what Stephen Robinson's doing and the ongoing project of our park.
Yeah, it was certainly very good finish last season. It would have been perfect had we the league campaign been finished and the whole season had been concluded and we were there. For me, there's a slight kind of element, would we have been caught by Aberdeen? Could we have cemented that place and extended the lead further? I think we had turned the corner just at the point where the season was suspended. So it's been kind of left like kind of tantalisingly dangling there as to how it might have finished. But
even that aside, it was unquestionably a fantastic season. I think it was all the better because we weren't really quite sure what we were going to get. I think when we completed the season beforehand, the last 6 months had hinted at something promising, building. But you're never quite sure, such as the kind of turnover of players. It's so easy and kind of anything between like kind of 3rd and 12th in Scottish football, that all it takes is the signing of a pivotal player. You know, for example, Louis Moult a couple of seasons ago, I firmly believe was the difference between us and getting to cup finals and such like, and you know, being maybe 2-3 places further down the table when you've got a prolific goal scorer like that. And all it takes is something like that to elevate a team up there. But we'd formed a really good team, and the exciting thing going into the current campaign is that for the most part we've retained the bulk of everybody that you would really want to, bar one or two exceptions perhaps. We've added strength and depth to that. So the fact that we're going in with such a settled squad, it lends some optimism there that we're certainly well set for replicating that kind of finish and that kind of part of the table.
And Scott, pre-season has been very different in the fact that we've only got 11 potential opponents. I guess that the likes of Rangers and Celtic, they went to France and played their friendlies, but the rest of us have been playing opposition that would, or will be, opposition in the league in the forthcoming season. That's made for a different dynamic from the usual Betfred League Cup games, where we enjoy so much of the ball and possession and quite often run over teams quite comfortably. There was obviously the Rangers game, which was broadcast live on Premier Sport and also on the streaming services that we'll go on to talk about a wee bit later on. That set off alarm bells amongst the support. But I think there has to be a wee bit of realism in the fact that from a Motherwell point of view, we've not played a home friendly since we played Fulham in 2014 for Park. We don't play these games because I think we kind of quite like to keep them under wraps and almost behind closed doors type of thing. If fans obviously want to travel, they used to be able to do so, they can't just now. Do you think that exposed a couple of flaws in how we were preparing for the season, or do you kind of just write that off and think, well, Rangers had more time in their legs, they were further on in the pre-season and the result was almost inevitable?
It doesn't overly concern me, and the reason that I say that is that I think it was last season that we struggled against Gateshead and Barrow, non-league opposition in England, and there was panic stations, social media and stuff like that, so I'm not really too fussed about the kind of mixed bag that we've had in relation to the start. The pre-season, I don't think you can really judge any sort of pre-season. It is really all about getting fitness. And let's be honest, did anybody really expect to go and beat Rangers at Ibrox, particularly with the fact that they had played, as you said earlier, kind of two high-tempo games in France? So they were already ahead of the game. The performance wasn't great. I know we're going to go and talk about signings later on. But you can't judge a team after one performance. I wouldn't say it's irrelevant, but it certainly isn't an indication of how our season's going to go. If we beat Rangers, does that mean that we were going to be a potential challenging for the league? I don't think so. So I'm not concerned at all. I'll be more concerned if we get beat 4-0 against Ross County on Monday night.
And Gordy, I think that's a really good point that Scott's just made there. And Stephen Robinson alluded to it as well, where if you play an Annan or a Clyde, East Stirling, you possibly don't learn too much about where you're at as a group, whereas you go to Ibrox, and there was positives in the performance, not many positives, but I think Stephen Robinson would have learned a lot more from that 4-0 defeat at Ibrox than he would have beaten Annan 3-0.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think Stephen Robinson did say similar in his sort of post-match interview last Wednesday. You're right, obviously in the last few seasons we've had the Betfred games, and it tends to be mostly lower league opposition, and we've been quite clinical in sort of casting those teams aside in recent times. Whether it necessarily makes for the best test pre-season wise before you start your league campaign, I'm not entirely sure. It certainly helps build up confidence in the sense that when you think back to last year, I think we won 4 out of 4. I don't think we conceded a goal in the group stages. And we went to the first game of the league season at Livingston really sort of buoyant and sort of full of confidence. And we got a wee bit of a setback because we drew 0-0, which in hindsight wasn't a bad result, but I think we expected to win that day. And then I think we get knocked out the League Cup the next week by Hearts, and it maybe gave us a wee bit of a wake-up call that, you know, we weren't, as much as we did obviously go on and thankfully have a really good season, that we weren't quite as all there as we maybe thought we were from the Betfred qualifying games. So it's maybe a good sort of a good test and a good wake-up call, if you like, to get that wee shock to the system before the real stuff starts. Obviously, as the guys have said, Rangers have been away and played a couple of games abroad against a good opposition. And at the end of the day, they're a better side than we are anyway. They've got a far bigger budget and far better players. So when we are not quite at our game, and a couple of the goals you lost were quite cheap, it kind of exposes the sort of the roughness or the lack of sharpness that is maybe there in our game at this moment in time. But I think in general, it was a good exercise. Obviously, we've played 3 or 4 teams within the Premiership, so just probably through circumstances as much as anything else, but it'll be a good enough test. Certainly similar to other clubs in our outside range, or Celtic will have played a similar pre-season to us, so I reckon we'll be in a similar shape to most. And thankfully, thanks to this early business we've done in the transfer window, I think we could maybe argue we're maybe even a wee bit ahead of some of the other clubs. So as much as it was a disappointing result, still plenty of cause for optimism, I think, going into the season.
And Andy, do you read in too much the fact we lost 3 to Kilmarnock prior to the Rangers game, 4-2 Rangers, and then 2 to Accies at the weekend? Is that a significant thing, or is that actually kind of almost preempt a problem and something we can address before the proper stuff starts on Monday night?
No, I don't think so. I think it's Scott alluded to in terms of the kind of games where we've perhaps lost or struggled in earlier in pre-season, that it is ultimately about, you know, getting match sharpness and building up fitness for players. The games concerned there was quite a number of them who had only played like 45 minutes, and there were wholesale changes throughout the kind of pre-season games. Some players were only getting an hour. It's been said in the past, we don't quite know what the kind of levels are that the team has been pushed at during kind of pre-season training as well. Again, going back to the friendly that Scott mentioned, the Barrow game, I heard it said that we'd actually played that game after 2 double sessions during the day before we went out and played the 90 minutes. Just to sort of get the players working, get them used to sort of seeing how they would be whenever they're tired bodies and tired minds, and see how they react, and to build up a wee bit of resilience in that matter. So we don't know how they've been, whether they've been flogged, whether they've been, you know, given a light dose of training, how it's been in the run-up to these games. So I think it's all about fitness. It's nice when you can look back and see, oh, we won this game in pre-season, or we did that in pre-season. But ultimately, it doesn't matter whether you win, lose, or draw. It's what actually happens whenever the games proper actually kick off.
Let's have a look at the arrivals and departures over the summer months. The summer has been the transfer window is different, certainly in terms of the fact that we'll run on till October, but we seem to have done quite a lot of our business early on. I'll go through the arrivals: Jordan White, Scott Fox, Nathan McGinley, Ricky Lamy, Jake Hasty returning on loan from Rangers, Callum Lang came in yesterday, Mark O'Hara has made his loan move a permanent one. A lot of activity there, Scott. Are you fairly satisfied by the business done so far by Stephen Robinson?
I absolutely delighted with the some of them we know, some of them we don't know. I think certainly the one that sticks out for me is Jake Hasty coming back. It's going to be split opinion due to the fact of the way that he left the club. But for me, one of the positives against Rangers was he looked quite dangerous when he was on the ball. I understand that fans have got their gripe with him for the way that he left the club, but I think as football fans, we're too quick at judging players' decisions. It's not about being loyal, it's about building a life for yourself. And I think he'll be... that's my pick of the signings. Certainly, if you we're talking about the pre-season, Nathan McGinley did look slightly dodgy. It doesn't look like a left back to me, but you need to give the guy a chance. But overall, I think the signings have been nothing short of excellent. I think Ricky Lamy will form a great partnership, so I'm delighted and I'm really looking forward to seeing what the starting 11 is going to be come Monday.
And Gordon, the big one would be, and I've missed out Chris Long deliberately, I must be said, I'll go and speak to Andy about that, but Jake Hasty returning, there was a lot of discontent amongst the Motherwell support when he did leave, and then shortly afterwards he was farmed out on loan. It almost felt like Rangers had weakened us rather than kind of strengthened them themselves. He's now back. He's got a point to prove. The fans will need to be won over, but do you feel that Hasty has the capabilities to do that?
I think he does. I think, obviously, you just need to look at his breakthrough 3 or 4 months, 2 seasons ago now, to when he first broke into the first team with ourselves, to see that he's obviously got that ability to turn the fans back on side. I can understand why there was a few grumblings at the time, and maybe still is, I guess, around the circumstances as much as anything of how he left the club. But, like, I can understand why he would take the option to make money while he had the chance. The fact he's back now, I think, is a good move for him and potentially, hopefully, you know, a good move for the club as well. I think we needed strengthening in those sort of wide areas if we're continuing to play with this front three. Obviously, he's played in that system for us before, so he's kind of well versed in how we play. I think he'll get maybe feel a bit more comfortable in the environment at Motherwell than maybe a bigger club at Rangers. I'm not sure he was quite ready to make that move, if I'm being perfectly honest at the time. And I think
just further that, Gordy. Sorry for interrupting. I think one benefit of lockdown will be to Jake Hasty because I think that playing in an empty Firth Park initially will do him the world of good, because I think there would be a lot of rumblings coming for the stands, which may affect a young guy like that. So if he goes and hits the ground running and scores some goals by the times that the fans come back in, he could have won over them again.
Yeah, that's it. Football fans are fickle at the end of the day, and I include myself in that. So even the ones who are maybe still quite strongly against them, shall we say, I think would be quickly won over by a few good performances and a kind of run of form like he showed again for us a couple of seasons ago. So Jake Hasty's clearly got it in his locker. I think he's in the right environment with the right coaching staff to get the best back out of him again. So fingers crossed, he could be a big player for us for the first either 6 months or the full season, depending on how it plays out.
Andy, as I say, I missed out Chris Long, who really had found a scoring touch before play was interrupted in the Premiership season last season. It felt like a bit of a coup to get him back to Firth Park, given that it seemed to be the case that this move was completely off the cards. Motherwell did it in a really kind of creative way with the billboards the night before, welcome to Motherwell and Chris Long on the branding. Did we think that it was a case that we'd maybe made a mistake and had signed up for that too prematurely? The next day it was revealed that he was signing for the football club. It's a big signing. It's a good chance for Chris Long to continue his kind of recovery in his career, because it has been well documented that he had lost his way in the game. he had a very positive season last season, but I still think there's more to come, and I think that this could be one of the ones that really, really kicks us on this season.
I certainly hope so. I liked him, and we kind of go back to the chat about fickleness. I think there was a lot of Motherwell fans didn't take him because he didn't appear to run about and kiss the badge and, you know, pump the fists and all of that stuff whenever he was scoring goals initially when he came into the team. He didn't look as if he was particularly happy, possibly, but certainly performance-wise, once he kind of, you know, got in there, got into his groove, he was certainly a fine addition to the team. And as you say, as the season was progressing, he was slowly and steadily adding to his tally. I think he made it into double figures. Obviously, some of those are including the kind of Scottish Cup hat-trick and what have you, but it was certainly a very, very credible first season for him up here. I think he's a player who certainly does have aspirations and following some of the moves that we've helped generate for other players to championship teams. And perhaps that was, he was holding off in the hope that he'd done enough to secure a move there. Perhaps it was simply a case, I noticed that he's had another addition to his family recently as well. Perhaps it was simply down to that. He wanted that settled before he kind of committed to his future. But whatever the reasons for it, you know, really, really pleased to have him back. We know what we're going to get from him. You know, he fitted in well with the formation last season, got his goals, and with the addition of kind of other players to support him, there were times last season where he was kind of left pretty much. He was the, you know, the kind of single focal point through the middle at times. We've got a backup there. We've got different formations and tactics and options there alongside them now. So I'm certainly hopeful that he's going to carry on the good work. And if it is the case that he still has those aspirations to go to a championship side, then it'd be mutually beneficial for us both if he rattles in a few goals for us and helps us for another successful season along the way before he does get that move. If he continues and extends his stay in Lancashire further, all the better. But, you know, certainly happy that he's signed up for another season.
And Andy, I'll stick with you as we talk about departures. The key one, of course, would be Mark Gillespie, who got a dream move to Newcastle United, started off his career there, he's went full circle after really, really excelling from taking over the number one jersey in difficult circumstances from Trevor Carson. I think the biggest compliment you could pay to Mark Gillespie is you never noticed that Trevor Carson was out of the picture because he performed so brilliantly from the minute that he got the opportunity right through to the moment that he's obviously departed the football club. It's also a great advert for guys that could come to Motherwell from down south, the lower reaches of English football, to get that platform to play, and that can win you a move to real prominence. I know that he might be going there to be third or fourth choice goalkeeper at the moment, but really, given Mark Gillespie's performances in a Motherwell jersey, I would have full confidence if he was given the opportunity that he could really excel.
Well, worst case scenario, if he doesn't kick a ball for them, he'll have done much the same as Jake Casey and significantly boosted his bank balance through his efforts at Fir Park. So again, it's another indication of what we can offer players coming here, you know, the platform that we can provide players for taking their career to another level if they, you know, they feel they can do that. But I agree with you in terms of his calibre of goalkeeping. I thought it was kind of quite hard done by in some respects by people demanding he be dropped. I recollect going back to the Scottish Cup game in Dundee where it looked like, I think Carson had re-signed at that point, that he was looking like he was going to re-sign and or Gillespie wasn't going to re-sign, whatever the case was. And, you know, I recollect, well, you know, we know Carson's going to be here next season, he should be immediately, you know, put back in the team. The guy, as you say, was first class from the minute he came in until the minute he walked out the door. There was no drop in quality at all from Trevor to Gillespie. And, you know, he's done excellently. use the platform that we provide as much as he possibly could. And, you know, fair play to him that he's got his dream move to the, you know, the club he supports, English Premiership side. Fantastic. Well done to him.
Gordon, the other significant departures would be Peter Hartley and Richard Tate, who served the club brilliantly over the time at kind of two or three seasons that they were there. Bittersweet to see both guys that I guess had kind of fallen away and fallen out the first team picture, but not to give them the kind of traditional send-off that they would have got had it been the celebrations of finishing third in front of fans. Sentiment is kind of non-existent in football, but it was difficult to see both guys go without the kind of proper acclaim that they absolutely deserve.
Yeah, I think obviously both have been really good servants to the club over the last sort of three or four seasons, and been a big part of the sort of recent success we've had under the current manager. As you say, obviously for maybe slightly different circumstances, they're both in the last season anyway, or over the course of the last two seasons, I guess, had fallen out of the picture a bit. Richard Tate, obviously, he kind of fell out the team the start of last season, and obviously Liam Grimshaw's form at right back has kind of made that position his own. And obviously Jake Carroll had a good season as well at left back, where Richie had been kind of filling in sporadically for the last two or three seasons as well, so his chances were a lot more limited last year. But I think in general he was a very consistent fullback, and you know, it was only maybe a year or two ago we were talking about him for the Scotland international team. So obviously there'll be critics that maybe say he's maybe lost a wee yard of pace here and there, as he's I think in his early 30s now, but. I think Richard Tate was a top player for us over the three, four seasons, a very consistent, versatile player. It'll be a shame to see him go, and I think he'll probably be a good signing for St Mirren as well. Peter Hartley obviously had a few injury problems, and that similarly also maybe led to him losing a wee bit of sharpness or a yard of pace. I still think he did a relatively decent season last year alongside Declan Gallagher, but obviously, with the signing of Ricky Lamy, I think it's, you know, without being too presumptuous, I think that's possibly a step up for ourselves. It's a partnership that's worked before. So sad to see both of them go. Sad to see Peter Hartley go as well, because he's been he seemed to be somebody who took his captaincy quite seriously and diligently, and was quite good off the park as well. So shame to see all those three guys we spoke about go, because they seem like good lads and good players certainly as well. But looking at the squad as a whole, where we're at now compared to last season, I have to say I think we're in a stronger position. So from our point of view, I think we've come out of the window quite well.
We've got a natural successor to Peter Hartley in terms of the captaincy, Declan Gallagher stepping up, a guy that came in and was questioned in terms of his background and previous misdemeanours. He's built himself up so incredibly well. He's been recognised at international level. He's now the captain of the football club. Peter Hartley gave him a glowing endorsement on Twitter as well, which I guess it doesn't mean a great deal in terms of they're not sharing a dressing room, but Peter Hartley was an excellent captain for Motherwell. He's talking about Declan Gallagher in glowing terms. It seemed like the kind of natural step. That's possibly quite a big thing.
No, I think it was an easy decision to have Declan Gallagher as the captain he is. You can see, I always like a centre half. All the kind of great captains are, Terry Butcher, for example, brings to mind. And I'm not putting Declan Gallagher is the same type of player as Terry Butcher or ever will be, but I just think that it was the obvious choice. I mean, even the way that he conducts himself off the park, he looks as if he's a massive character. I think that's what's needed. I read a few people saying it should have been Alan Campbell for his work rate and attitude, but listen, look at what's happened to the likes of Carroll McHugh. It was too much for him, and it kind of killed him as a player. I just think Declan Gallagher will take it in his stride. I don't think it'll make any difference to his game. I don't think it'll, and that's important. I just think it was an easy decision. Certainly, it shows you that. I think I read somewhere in the Rangers friendly that, oh, we need somebody like Peter Hartley in the dressing room. But it's so ironic because you go to the games and Peter Hartley was the scapegoat. He'd have one pass going and people would be on his back. Now, whether or not the captaincy brings that wee bit more expectation, but I just think that Declan Gallagher will completely and utterly take any stride, and it was such an easy decision to make.
Yeah, and I think it's been made clear by the fact that Gallagher's held his own amongst some of the bigger, higher profile players amongst the Scotland squad. He has came to Motherwell under a wee bit of a cloud. I don't know whether rightfully or wrongly, like, people will question the past. He's excelled, absolute nailed on player of the year as far as I'm concerned, and then he's now taking that extra step. What about the vice captain in terms of Trevor Carson, Andy? A player that could have perhaps been lost to the game given such the serious nature of his injury. Incredible resilience to come back. It wasn't just a career-threatening injury, it was a life-threatening injury. He's now back. He's between the sticks for the club. He will be pushed on by Scott Fox, who's been signed during the transfer window. You would expect that Carson's very much Stephen Robinson's number one. And it's testimony to the man that he has built himself back up through first the injury and then all the kind of mental health issues that he has admitted he suffered as a consequence of the injury. To be back vice-captain of the club, clearly such an important figure within the dressing room. It's a real tribute to the guy.
Definitely, especially when you think as well how, you know, a different set of circumstances, he might well have been away early on in his Motherwell career elsewhere, and the kind of big money life changing move that he didn't get, and potentially was it a year, less than a year down the line, you know, he suffers how he did. So it's a, as you say, it's a testament to his kind of resilience and the fight within him to get back, recover his health, get back playing football and push for his place once again. And, you know, we hope he can recapture the form that he demonstrated in his first season at the club. He's a player who's vast experience, you know, throughout his career, and he'd of course made it into the Northern Ireland side as well. So, you know, his leadership qualities there. The fact that he's came from essentially kind of non-league in England and performed at a very capable level at Fir Park, got his international recognition. You know, it's good to see him recognised in that fashion in terms of the vice captaincy. Now, there remains a slight question mark as to what he's going to be like in the, you know, the rigors again, having not played for so long. But clearly Robinson sees him in training day in, day out, and, you know, I don't expect to be seeing any kind of massive dips in form from the kind of solid custodian that he was whenever he was in the team for the first season and however many months it was he kind of played in the early part of his second season. So are we good to see him back again, you know, as our number one?
And God, they're moving towards Monday, first game of the season, a game that we broadcast live in Sky Sport. We're quite lucky in the fact that the first two away games of the season will both be broadcast live on the television. There was a bit of uncertainty as to whether or how we would pick up away games. Most of the details have been revealed. Obviously, there's a major question mark over the Hearts. Hearts, they're definitely not involved in the Premiership. They had their Marnock game on Saturday, where it looks like the Kelly fans might actually miss out on the game because haven't got it in place yet to pick up outside subscriptions and one-off payments. It looks like we're going to see all the games until fans get back into the stadium. There was problems with the Rangers game, which I think was almost inevitable. There wasn't any other reason that Motherwell showed that game on their streaming service other than to try and iron out some of the problems that were going to exist, or kind of some of the problems that they maybe expected to exist. It's going to be very, very surreal, that first game at Fir Park against Dundee United on the live streaming service. But I think a lot of credit has to go to the higher-ups at Fir Park for ensuring that the fans can see all the home games free of charge that are season ticket holders. Motherwell are also the cheapest to buy a game as a one-off. Yes, we don't know how the platform's going to work. 11 out of the 12 teams are all operating off the same streaming service as well, so you would have to think that these companies are reputable and they're going to provide the service that we want. It's not the circumstances we want to be watching games in. Of course, we want to be at Fir Park and cheering the team on. But is this the next best thing? Is this going to hopefully tide us over for a couple of months? Hopefully it's only a couple of months. We just don't know, I guess.
Yeah, obviously we're entering uncharted territory with this, but I mean, there's no other alternative really at the moment until we get the green light to start allowing fans to return to the stadiums. As you say, I think it won't be the same as a fan watching the game in front of an empty stadium as it would be being there and having the atmosphere, but certainly as a fan myself, I'm sure probably all you guys are the same. I'd be more than happy to pay the money for away matches, whether it would be £12 to £15 to watch it. But I appreciate maybe some wouldn't. But I don't understand why some clubs would elect to not make it available to all fans, home or away. I really don't understand the Hibs, Kilmarnock situation, if I'm being honest. It just baffles me why clubs would turn down the opportunity of income from fans wanting to pay in a one-off subscription. But who knows, maybe as this irons out over the next few weeks, the situation will sort itself out. But as you say, you know, hats off to Motherwell as a club again. You know, the fact that the matches are a part of the season ticket first and foremost, but the fact that they also don't impact on you know, your season ticket, you'll get the games, the live games, if you like, back next season or whenever it'll need to be, is another excellent point, as well as the pay-per-view games being, for the non-season ticket holders, being of a far more affordable price than some of the other figures I've seen earlier this week. It'll be interesting to see how it goes. At least, as I say, as a bare minimum, at least we're getting a chance to watch the games, even if we can't be in the ground. And it just adds to, it keeps a relative amount of, maybe not quite the same excitement as you would have at this stage in a new season, but at least it keeps it sort of fresh and for the fans, and they can actually get to see the games and keeps things ticking over. And hopefully, you know, fingers crossed, we can all get back in a stadium in the next sort of couple of months as well, and that would be even better.
Do you think there's any chance that even when the fans are back in, that this will stay put? And as we've kind of hinted about the Hibs with an extra revenue, do you think there's a possibility that it might be an option that you can sit in the house and watch it for, buy a season ticket to watch it in the house? Do you think this is going to open up a door for that? Certainly, it's not something that I would do, but there is maybe times where you're away somewhere and you can't, you're at a wedding or something like that, and you could sneakily watch it on your phone. Do you think there's a possibility this could happen?
There's normally, I imagine there will be a transition period when we start to go back into the grounds where it will maybe be reduced capacity or, you know, something along those lines. So I'd imagine they would certainly keep it going for those games. Obviously, in previous seasons, when things have been in a normal situation, they've not allowed that to basically stop, to allow fans and keep the crowds at a healthy level. I honestly don't know. I'm not sure what the other guys think, but
I couldn't concede, to be honest, with Sky having just recently put in whatever amount of money for their new TV deal for however many years. I think we've done well getting the stream from them, which I believe it's coming from them for all of the games that we're getting. So I think we're doing well, that we're getting what we've got. But I think the minute that stadiums open up in full, then that'll be the end of that.
I'm going to have to hope that that wouldn't be the case, because I would think there will be that extra boost to attendances when fans are allowed back into the stadium. I think there will be that missing factor that we've been denied it for a period of time. But I think that attendances will, as a result, go up. So I would hate to see the fact that you can just sit on the couch and you can just go to the pub and watch it in a stream. I really want fans back in the stadium and Scottish football to actually benefit from the fact that we have been denied the opportunity to go and watch our teams and support our teams. There'll be teams in the lower leagues that are really, really dicing with death just now. So hopefully it is the chance for fans that attend games and those that are maybe lapsed fans as well to get back to stadiums and get back to supporting their teams. Really, I don't like the idea of the let's start streaming games at 3 o'clock on a Saturday, because I think that will be the death knell for attendances across the board. I really don't think it should happen. And obviously in these kind of exceptional circumstances, it has to happen. But after that, I would definitely be steering clear of it.
I think I might be mistaken, but was it the Scottish Football Marketing podcast that Grant Russell was on recently? I think he had mentioned sort of some things, and he was keen for maybe not replicating live games whilst they're showing, but definitely opening up things for people that can't be there. I think he used the example of, it may even be Sky, or that you get goals pretty much instantly. You can sign up and get the goals from games on your mobile after.
Yeah, he's mentioned that on the podcast before as well, hasn't he? He uses the MLS example as Latan's goal.
Yep. So that might well be a sort of a step along that way, but I think we're in a kind of horrible position where we don't seem to get the deals that we feel are justified for our league. So, but at the same time, we're completely in tow to what we're offered. We seem to just have to lump what we're offered in terms of the TV deals and kind of go with it. So we're a wee bit of kind of hostage to that in some respects. But you know, it would possibly be something that we would explore, but I think when we're kind of hostage to the deals that we get, the sums that we get from those contracts, that really they're not really going to willingly give away things like live TV games that's in, or live streaming of games that's in competition to games that they've got exclusive rights to, or priority rights to show in whatever form. So
Scott, has this situation maybe emphasised the importance of fans to clubs, particularly in Scotland?
I don't think particularly in Scotland. I think the importance of fans.
I'm kind of maybe reading more as a money source. Obviously, the clubs in England have got such massive amounts coming in through TV revenue and such like. Clearly a lot different here.
No, certainly. I mean, it's night and day, isn't it, between money-wise. But I don't know. I mean, my opinion of it, no matter what, even if it was every game was free, I would still be going to watch Motherwell, no matter what the circumstances are. It's really difficult, isn't it, to compare the SPL to the English Premier League. I mean, I think as Andy was saying a minute ago, but you can virtually, if you're in an away game, you can back to sitting in the bus or in the car, you can virtually watch the highlights straight away. But you never know. I mean, things, obviously, with the way things are going, Sky might throw a bit of money into it, and the coverage will really improve. But I suppose it's just really need to wait and see, don't we?
Yeah, we certainly do. And according to the first game of the season, Ross County on a Monday night, it wouldn't have been an ideal situation if we had been allowed in the stadium to travel to Dingwall for a 7:45 on a Monday night. But it's an achievable opening game, I think. Ross County had a mixed season, first season back in the top flight last season. We have managed to record a victory there during the course of last season. How do you gauge that game? It's very difficult to place where they're at, looking at their pre-season results. It's very difficult to gauge where we're at, gauging our pre-season results. I don't imagine it's going to be a very high-tempo game. I'll look back to that Livingston game that you've already alluded to in the first game of last season, and there was no real tempo to it. It was really slow. It was laborious. It was piss poor as well, to be fair. But it's a game that I think we can open the campaign with a positive result in.
I think it definitely is. As you say, it's going to be very tough to gauge, not just Ross County, but probably ourselves as well at this stage in the season. Ross County had a kind of fairly mixed season last year, and we had a fairly mixed set of results against them as well. So certainly when you look at Ross County and Dundee United, your two first games, you've got to take that as two winnable fixtures. As you say, and as probably going back to my first point right at the start of the podcast, you know, I think the tempo will be quite slow due to maybe a condensed pre-season. And obviously behind closed doors, it's probably not going to help that either. So it might not be the best. I hope it is obviously a very good game, but it might not be the kind of rip-roaring start of the season that you'd maybe always expect. But certainly over the course, I would be confident we should be able to get a result from it. And as I say, you know, looking at our first three or four matches, it's not the worst start to the season that run to fixtures that we've had. So it's always good to hopefully build a bit of momentum if you can get a positive start to the season, and I'm confident that we can do that.
Thinking of thing with the start of the season, none of us know what the starting 11 is going to be. We don't know what his preferred choice is, who's going to be up front, who's going to be the partner in Declan Gallagher, is Turnbull going to be starting. It's such, because we've not really had an indication without a pre-season, so it's another kind of oddity that adds to the list that we've got absolutely who's hitting the form. I mean, last season we all thought Seedorf was outstanding, whereas I think he's probably one that might come up for a loan move to try and get some game time to see if he has actually got it in the locker. So it's such a difficult kind of area to try and even predict at the moment, and we're Motherwell fans, so it's again, as I said, it's just another list of strange things that we'll probably look back on in years to come and think, remember the lockdown season. So I've sat and tried to pick my 11, and it's been, I just can't do it. So good luck, Robbo.
Well, this will make the last question of the podcast very easy for all three of you then. What are your hopes and ambitions for the season ahead? I did a thing with Sky Sports yesterday, and I think it'll be very difficult for us to replicate last season's third place finish, though I think we're more than capable of having a good season to finish in the top six, hopefully have a couple of runs in the cups, and who knows with the structure of the Europa League as well, whether we could maybe take that one step beyond and end up in the group stages. That would be a phenomenal achievement. I don't think it's beyond the realms of possibility. What about you guys? What are you hoping for the season ahead?
I think, as you say, it's going to be very hard to replicate third. Maybe not just from our own perspective, but we possibly took advantage of some of the other medium to large clubs not having the best seasons last year. Obviously Hearts and Hibs probably the two best examples there. You would expect Hibs and Aberdeen to maybe be a bit stronger next year. So I think at any season we can't, as Motherwell, really expect to be aiming for third. If we do, then fantastic. I still, as I said, think we've got an excellent strength and depth and a very good squad. I think top six would be a realistic aim, and any better than that would be fantastic. From the cup point of view, I still think we've maybe kind of, other than in Stephen Robinson's first full season, obviously with the two cup finals, it's still an area where we continue to maybe flatter to deceive a little bit. So it would be good to maybe, certainly from a fan perspective, there's nothing better than a good cup run. So we're looking to make a bit of progress there. And in terms of Europa League, it's, you know, it's anything we can do in that field is a bonus. But yeah, we'll see how that one goes. Hopefully, you know, if we can make the group stages, that'd be incredible stuff. But who knows? Just depends on the luck of the draw, I suppose.
For me, I would be extremely disappointed if we didn't make the top six. We've just spoke about the kind of strength and depth that we have in the squad, albeit that we've had a poor pre-season. If you look at every position, maybe with the exception of a right back and left back to an extent, if Jake Carroll comes back, I think we're strong enough. But every position we've got competition for places. When you look at some of the other clubs and their signings, I don't want to say there's absolutely no chance, but I just don't think that we would be down the bottom battling. Maybe teams like Kilmarnock will maybe give us a game. I think the teams down the bottom will be like Ackies, as usual, Livy. I think Livingston will have a poor season. I don't think we've got anywhere about down there. It just depends on how Aberdeen, I can't really remember who they've obviously signed Johnny Hayes. I think looking realistically, kind of fourth and fifth we'd be satisfied with. Third, again, be absolutely delighted. We can't look any higher than that, realistically speaking. And as other guys have said, I mean, it's a cup run. Would be phenomenal. To lift a trophy would be a dream come true for any season, just as long as the fans are back in. On our luck, we'll get to the cup final, win it, and we'll still not be allowed fans in. That's the kind of thing that will happen to Motherwell. And like you are saying, in Europe, I think we'll get to the group stages. In my heart of hearts, I don't. Again, we've got a wee bit of possibility with the changes, that's one-legged. Again, it's just if we get a good home tie, you just never know, don't you know? But I think it's more positive. We're probably a bit more realistic because of the pre-season, which we spoke about earlier. I particularly remember last season against Morton when Hilton and Seedorf completely ran the show. And I'm like, oh, we're going to have a great season. And then within the first couple of games, it was doom and gloom for it all to come good. So, I think top six, cup run and disappointment in Europe, unfortunately.
I think there's still a lot of variables in there. You know, as rightly said, we don't know how strong we'll be ourselves. We don't know how strong the opposition will be. The beauty of the market that we all shop in is that, you know, we'll pluck players from like the English League Twos, League National Leagues and stuff. So we've got really no, in a lot of cases, we've got no real indication of the calibre of the players that the opposition are signing. So it's only really a kind of quarter of the way through the season or a third of the way through the season, whatever, that you get an indication of the kind of strengths of the teams that we're going to be facing. There's some variables in there. If we do something in Europe, then it's got the potential to really kind of play havoc with your league campaign. If we are into a run of, much as we hope, kind of Thursday-Sunday fixtures, and whilst we've strengthened, how much have we strengthened if we do have to face the kind of rigours of that kind of scheduling? We've got the transfer window
running up to, I think it's October, some point in October as well. So we don't know. We could get players that get into a stride. David Turnbull could turn out on Monday night, play the first of many blinders before then, and suddenly he's zapped out the squad, kind of just as we're kind of third of the way through or whatever. We don't know what the weather conditions are going to be like throughout the year in terms of the tight schedule as it is. And we don't even know whether we're going to get a second wave of the virus as well. So there's so many variables in there that could impact on things. But the basis of what you're saying, it's hard to disagree. I think with the squad that we've got, the settled nature of the squad that we've got, even taking account for another couple of teams getting ahead of us, if you want to put it that way, you would still be anticipating that we're going to be competing for a top six finish. The cups, anybody can do it to get to the cup final. You need a good run of fixtures. We've already bypassed the group stages in terms of that. So we've skipped around there for the League Cup. You hope for positive draws again, and we've certainly seen in our day that we can demonstrate we can go anywhere in the country and give teams games, and we can beat anybody at Fir Park, certainly. So you always hope, as every fan of every team does, that we can do something in terms of the cups. Ask me again in December.
A crucial point, though, and sorry again, that Andy makes is David Turnbull. I think if he stays and he plays well, absolutely brilliant. Like, let's be honest, he's going to go. See if he does go in the transfer window and we get £3.5 million or whatever, anywhere near what they said before. Again, that's going to be a whole podcast in its own. What do we do with that money? Just don't give it to Alex McLeish to spend money on £275,000 and Sean McSkimmon again.
I was going to ask, is that a kind of final question then? Is the kind of overriding feeling one of positivity amongst us all? Because I did a podcast last week and all I could think about was how there is very few negatives about the football club just now. Everything seems to be moving in the right direction. We are in a very good spot. It's such a boot to the balls that we're not able to go and watch the team at this moment in time, because it's a very, very positive time to be supporting Motherwell. Is that the kind of feeling that you guys have got as well, that things are moving in the right direction? Yes, we might not finish third this season. Yes, European football and the group stages of the Europa League might not be achievable, but things seem to be moving in the right direction. We're recruiting well. Things behind the scenes seem to be very, very solid. We've negotiated this pandemic very well.
I think you're right. I mean, I don't see, as much as I would always temper it with cautious optimism, I don't see why we can be anything other than optimistic when you look at how we did last year. The fact that we've managed to negotiate the pandemic with, still managing to have a strong transfer window and go into this season with, in my opinion, a stronger squad than we finished last year with, albeit we had also a very good year last year as well. We've got European football on the horizon. Hopefully, if we can get a kind draw, we might make it there as supporters as well. Yeah, as a Motherwell fan, when things are positive, you're always a wee bit worried that when's the kicking the ball is going to happen. But yeah, I think there's no way why, as long as you get sort of realistic expectations for this season, you wouldn't go in with enthusiasm, in my opinion.
I totally agree with everything Gordy said there. As Motherwell fans, we're never going to get in and think we're going to win the league. We're getting in with realistic expectations, I think. I think that's what's crucial. We don't think that we're going to win. We're not saying we're going to win the cup, but what we're saying is it would be great to have a cup run. And what that means is getting to a semi-final, getting a trip to Hampden, and we'll all be happy. We're disappointed if we don't get there, but it's still great. The week building up to the semi-final and the finals. I think we're all really positive. I mean, the signings that we've made, there's not been really much negatives at all throughout this around 10 minutes that we've been on, which is really good.
I think in terms of the team, where there's optimism on the park is that there's also, we can see like a, as well as the team developing and evolving, so too is Robinson and Lasley as well off it. You know, I think we can see we had the kind of successful season, his first full season, where we got to the two cup finals. And I think by, in terms of by the time that we were even getting towards the cup final, it'd been sussed as perhaps harsh, but there had been an understanding and appreciation of our tactics, and we were being nullified kind of more and more. And that kind of carried on into the start of the following season. And it took a wee bit of evolution of the team and some restructuring of the squad. And I think he's learned as well over that time as well about getting his aspirations at that particular point were having strength and depth also. But I think this season he's learned he's not only got his strength and depth, but he's added to the kind of the qualities there further down the squad as well. So which stands us in good stead. And I think there's also where he had to wait basically until the kind of January transfer window to remodel and reshape the team. He's actually done it in a fashion whereby he has those variables here. We're not simply just, you know, 3-5-2 or 5-3-2 any longer. We're not simply 4-3-3 and that's that rigid. We've got various options that we can adjust within the squad that we've built up. The squad, we've built up the caliber in there, and the options and different. So I think there's optimism from that regard as well, which you feel much more secure going into a new campaign, knowing that you have these variations within the team, you have the players within the team that can adjust, and if things aren't quite going our way with our initial starting lineup, that we have these alternatives. Especially, and I know some people are not over the moon with the five substitutes, but that again gives us more scope with that added quality in our squad to change things throughout the course of matches. So echoing your kind of your optimism in terms of going in on the park, certainly.
Yeah, and I would like to finish by wishing everyone at the football club all the best for the forthcoming season. As different circumstances, we all are desperate to get back to Fir Park and to away games and supporting the team. But as it stands just now, we'll all rally together behind the club from home. And yeah, in a not too distant point in the future, we will be back supporting a club that we absolutely adore. And yeah, I think we're all in a very good spot in terms of our enthusiasm levels for the forthcoming season. Yes, we've been here before, and yes, we've been bitten in the ass by it, but let's enjoy the fact that we are riding a wee bit of a crest of a wave just now. We've got the Europa draw towards the end of August, five games in August, where we think we've got a really realistic chance of having a really positive start to the season, and who knows what happens from there. Guys, thank you very much for joining me tonight.
No bother.
Cheers, thanks for having me.
You've been listening to MFC Podcast. We'll be back sporadically over the course of the early stages of the season, but we'll be back very soon.